I remember as a kid, my very first job was pumping gas. My second job was being a cook in a restaurant. Now, had I tried to use the skills of pumping gas in the kitchen, I doubt I would have succeeded. The same is true for you and I as believers in Christ. God has called us to a new way of living. To live the old way, well, it just won't work. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us back to Exodus chapter 34 today. A new way forward is what he has entitled today's program. Join us and be encouraged as we look at the direction our lives should be taking in Christ. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon, today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the second book of the Bible, chapter 34 this morning. Verse 10, this is the word of the Lord. And he said, "Behold, I am making a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among you whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take care lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it become a snare in your midst. You shall tear down their altars and break their pillars and cut down their Asherim. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and when they whore after their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and you are invited, you eat of his sacrifice, you take of their daughters for your sons, and their daughters whore after their gods and make your sons whore after their gods. You shall not make for yourself any gods of cast metal. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I command you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib, for in the month of Abib you came out from Egypt. All that open the womb are mine, all your male livestock, the firstborn of cow and sheep, the firstborn of donkey you shall redeem with the lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. You shall observe the feast of weeks, the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. 3 times in the year your male shall appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out nations before you and enlarge your borders. No one shall covet your land. When you go up to appear before the Lord your God 3 times in the year. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with anything leavened, or let the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover remain until morning. But the best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. And the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And now down at verse 1 of chapter 35. Moses assembled all the congregation of the people of Israel and said to them, these are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day. May the Lord bless this morning the hearing of his word. Well, this morning we have the privilege of coming to the table of our Lord. And I've always been so thankful and moved by the fact that when it's described in the scriptures, it's described as a feast for us that is meant to be festive, isn't it? It's a festive thing that we do. I don't know about you, but I am very distracted by all the events of this past week. Looking at all that's happening, all that's unfolding, all the energy for all the causes that are going on right now in the world, and particularly in our country. Look at the energy for all these causes right now. Causes that are not ultimately lasting. that to hear from the Lord this morning, I've got a feast for you that anticipates something much greater. I've got a feast where that anticipates the day where I will come and eat and drink this anew with you in the kingdom. Well, that's one of the greatest gifts for the hour then, isn't it? Because it means that what we're doing and what we're celebrating is something that has real meaning and real purpose. And it's not tied to this present evil age of causes that are passing away. Remember, 1 John tells us the world and all these things are passing away. It's always been his purpose that his people, in the midst of wilderness life, would come and enjoy him. Would come and festively enjoy his presence and enjoy his love. That was the Lord's intention in bringing them out of the land of Egypt to be a worshiping people and to come out and to do that. But we've learned in our study of Exodus that this appreciation of such love will mean nothing until you have really understood something about God and something about you. This is why Calvin began his Institutes, saying there really is nothing more important to know than the knowledge of God, and in that knowledge then, we are going to learn about a knowledge of us. We've been really struck with the holiness of God in Exodus, haven't we? That this God can't tolerate any sin, and that he takes very seriously the problem of sin and idolatry, particularly that we have been studying in the book of Exodus. And when having this kind of predicament now that has been before us, of a people prone to idolatry and given to idolatry, to think about how reconciliation is possible, and to think about what the Lord's answer to us is when we sin, should be immensely important to us. We have to understand these things to have that relationship. And I believe that we've come to a very helpful section of Exodus this morning that really does provide a path forward for Israel. It gives them a way forward. We've been challenged the last weeks to see, and it was summarized in Psalm 81 last week, that Israel's problem ultimately was, not that it was unclear that they shouldn't make a golden calf, that they wouldn't listen to the Lord. They just wouldn't listen. And Hebrews comes along and tells us that not only did they not listen to the law, but Hebrews comes along and tells us they refused to listen to the gospel. So we have a law and gospel repudiation by Israel. It's really something to think about. The gospel was preached to them. Where was the gospel preached to them? I know of no better passage to show you where God preached the gospel to them when it says he proclaimed his name and said, I'm long-suffering and gracious. He's preaching it to them. Well, what is unfolding now is God explaining for them the implications of this. How they can be assured of his favor. How they can be assured of grace. How they can be assured of blessing as they go forward as sinners. If they will listen carefully, if they will listen carefully to what he has put in place to help them and to strengthen them. He puts certain things here to strengthen them and help them. But if they forget these things, if they turn from these things, if they depart from these feasts, if they depart from the grace he's put in place for them to help them, to strengthen them, then we'll notice here, they will, and in their long history proves this, they face the curses of the Sinai covenant. That's the Old Testament. So we see here that certain things are being put in place that God has always intended to put in place to help what he understands and knows to be sinners. He knows your weakness. He knows your frame. He remembers that you are dust. But we're challenged to ask, are we embracing what God has given to assure us of his forgiveness and his love? It tells where we are. So we're going to see this today by looking at this covenant restated, forgiveness pursued, and the feasts renewed. I hope that helps today. The covenant restated, forgiveness pursued, and the feasts renewed. Last time, God was renewing the terms of the Mosaic covenant. I mean, that's what this whole body of law, particularly in the 10 words, they had been smashed at the foot of the mountain. Now God is giving them back to Israel. As these two new tablets are being prepared with the 10 words, God then announces that gospel sermon that we looked at last time, his attributes. Remember those 7 attributes that we went through? He's compassionate, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, he's abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and he's just. That was announced right after the two tablets were handed to Israel. We're being cut, if you will. So the order that we have it now is important. God rewrote the terms of the covenant, if you will. He regave them. He reestablished them. Whatever word we use, something was redone here. And he gives them back. And immediately after that, they're cut, he gives a gospel sermon. Now I'm going to come back to that, of how Moses responded. That'll be the second point. But I don't want you to miss the structure here that's going back and forth. In verse 19, you have the terms again restated with the laws specifically focused on the first two commandments, which they broke. And you'll notice today, which goes into the third and specifically the fourth. So the Sinai covenant is now brought back into the picture. Remember, God only deals with his people in terms of a covenant. So in verse 10, this is what he says. Behold, I make a covenant. That's the first thing that's said there in 34, verse 10. Behold, I make, am making a covenant. Before your people, all your people, I will do marvels, such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among you shall see the work of the Lord, for it's an awesome thing that I will do with you. No nation on the earth was as blessed as Israel. No nation. All the nations of the earth at this time worshipped gods of stone. And those people gave all kinds of attention and energy. We saw what can happen with a golden calf. All the energy of worship and the roar of it all to those gods. But the one true God and all heaven and all of earth, the one true God, the living God had decided to give his love, which was electing love, to choose this people and come down and himself be with this people, and that he would drive out all the nations of the land and give them the land that he had promised to Abraham. It's going to be awesome, says the Lord. You watch what I'm going to do for you. You watch what I'm going to put on display for you. It was so wonderful that when they began to enter the land, all the inhabitants of Canaan heard about them. This was Rahab saying, when we heard about you and your God, our hearts melted. He alone is with you. We've heard about what he did for you in Egypt. And those kings on the other side of the Jordan, terror fell on us, they said. It must have been an absolute incredible journey to have the Lord himself go with them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. But you have a big responsibility. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. Now the whole emphasis here falls on the problem of what happened on Mount Sinai. The problem of idolatry. If I'm going to do this, idolatry, then you need to take very seriously the responsibility to keep yourselves from idolatry. That's the heart of this. What we have in chapter 34 then is the Lord setting up the laws, laws and instruction to keep them from happening, from going through and letting happen what happened there on Mount Sinai again. So the first thing that the Lord does is impose in Sinai upon them again what he requires. Observe what I command you. Notice this. Notice the language here in verse 11. I will drive out the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But now look at verse 12. Take care lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it become a snare in your midst. And then he comes the particulars. I want you to tear down their altars. I want you to break their sacred pillars. I want you to cut down their Asherim. Notice that. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. The Lord outlines what they were to do. I don't want any covenants. I don't want any unions with the pagans of the land. I don't want you to have those relationships. You are not to enter into their religious and their social life so as to join those practices. You are not to do that. What do you think that means in our environment? Take some wisdom if we're going to apply it properly. Don't you think that you could look at certain causes going on right now and say, a Christian cannot be a part of that and be separate? Just turn on the news. You have to come up with that. What do you value? What are your causes? What are you living for? What are you fighting for? There are certain things you can't join with. You just can't do it as a Christian. Kind of a foreign message today, isn't it? Hard message for us today. Because it's so foreign to even hear. There are certain things that belong to the spirit of this age. There are certain practices and certain causes that the God of this age has blinded multitudes of people to be in those causes. I think you saw that to a large degree yesterday. I saw and heard things that no Christian could be a part of. To have any fellowship in the ancient times with foreigners was to make alliances with their gods. God says, no. I'm your God. You feel that yet? I don't want you joining with them in any alliances to be a part of their pagan practices. No alliances. The Lord says further, it's completely forbidden for you to be involved in their places of worship. You'll notice that it meant that God was requiring them to be zealous about his worship, to hold that very sacred, to hold that very holy. No tolerance of false worship. I don't want tolerance. Tolerance is not something I give you the right to. Involvement in those things will pollute you. Christianity, it proves, requires a measure of intolerance and a willingness to stand for something. And here we're told what it is, who it is. And then he goes through the consequences of this. Listen, if you don't, if you're not going to take this seriously and you're going to mock it, and I can just hear the fundamentalist charge in our day, you're going to mock this stuff. Watch the snare in your families happen. You don't want to take it seriously? Watch the snare in your own children. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be really tempted to go worship these other things, these other gods. And you're going to share a loyalty with somebody else. I don't want any other god worshipped in your lives except me. For my name is jealous. I'm a jealous God. Jealousy means I am fiercely protective. They were his. He was theirs. I am your God. You are my people. I am your God. It's really a moving thing when you think about it. Imagine if we lived with that kind of zeal to remain pure in holiness because the Lord is our God. The God of heaven and earth chose us. He did. Of all the peoples in the earth, he chose us. It's really a moving section of Scripture of a fierce love for his people, isn't it? All the things that we kind of roll our eyes at. Sad, isn't it? The Lord commanded those whom he loved to be loyal to him. And that if they betrayed that love, he says, here's what's going to happen. Serious spiritual adultery in your lives. Here's what it looks like, verse 5. You make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. 15, excuse me. And when they whore after their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and you're invited, you eat of his sacrifice, you take of their daughters for your sons, and their daughters whore after their gods, and make your sons whore after their gods. Shall not make for yourself any gods of cast metal. Here's what the not taking seriously of the separation is going to look like in the course of your lives. Here's how it'll go. You're going to have all this spiritual adultery after gods. And then what's going to happen is, as you join practices, you're going to be justifying marriages of believers and unbelievers. You're going to give your children away to this stuff. It starts with giving them away to false worship. And then the path to that is no kind of understanding or appreciation of their distinct identity that they don't have the right to marry outside the Lord. That's the path here. False worship, go right down into their lives and their holiness and their purity, then they don't care about who they marry. That's the path out. That's the path to Canaan. It's really instructive, isn't it? A downward spiral into a compromised existence is the kind of life that is so blurred in conviction's gone, that it looks no more like anything distinctively of the Lord, but is completely blurred into the world until it is completely aligned and joined with it and justifies it. Convictions drop, and soon you're going to justify things you'd never justify years ago. And I've looked at this, I've seen this, people who were very strong in their convictions, and then all of a sudden, years down the road, totally compromised. They've dumped them. What happened? And notice what he says. He uses the example of the great temptation of marrying outside the Lord. I've always been moved that the New Testament authors are really using this and working from this principle. Paul told us that all these things were written about Israel so that we would not do the same things. And then he comes along to the Corinthians and says, listen, be separate. Come out. Be separate. You can't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You can't be in your marriage. You can't be in your life with your friends. That is not your choice. It's not your prerogative. Not if you're going to be a Christian. It means that spiritual adultery is real. So he's telling us. So who you join with, what you do, who you devote yourself to, will show itself then in the patterns of your life, right? That's why he goes on and says, the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Listen, I'm going to be really clear here. I've told you before, you practice that, you're not inheriting God's kingdom. But those who practice this in the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, there's no law against such things.
And indeed, we will find happiness and fulfillment in Christ alone as we continue down that specific road. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org if you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. looking to write to us, if you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.